My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today, as we all know, begins a new era of not just our lives, but of this country, and really of the rest of the world, given that this country occupies the status that it does. And there is no doubt that we Muslims living in this land, American Muslims, and yes, other groups as well, are feeling concerned, rightfully so. We feel worried. There's an element of fear, of suspicion. We do not know what the future bodes for us. So in today's khutbah, inshaAllah ta'ala, we will look at incidents in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We will look at the seerah, and we will try to extract some of the wisdom, some of the benefits through the life and times of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when it comes to difficult incidents, when it comes to traumatic times, and to lay the foundation for our attitude and what our attitude should be. Let us look at an incident that occurred in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, perhaps the most traumatic personal incident that ever affected him, and that was the slander against our mother Aisha. One of the most traumatic, emotionally charged incidents in the entire seerah, when a vicious lie and a slander was said against one of the most innocent women history has ever seen. It affected the family of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It affected him in his private household. It affected his heart. The whole community was shaken. And when Allah revealed the Quran to clear up the entire affair, what did Allah say? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Don't ever think that those people who brought forth the slander and all that happened from it, don't think that the incident was evil for you. Rather, the whole incident is going to be positive for you. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Even in this vicious lie, even in this traumatic incident that shook the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tells the believers, there will be more benefit than harm. There will be more good that comes out than evil. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This is the underlying philosophy of our religion. It is the paradigm through which we view the world. Whatever happens, happens for the best. There's always more good than evil. Allah has a wisdom and a plan, and it will be for our benefit. لَا تَحْزَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. As well, in the incident of Uhud, in the battle of Uhud, which was the greatest military setback amongst the time of the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ. There was no military setback that was worse than Uhud, or if you like, there was nothing that was as painful for the Muslims in terms of military setback than Uhud was. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after the battle of Uhud? After all of the dead have been buried, more than 70 shaheed, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ amongst them, the Muslims are demoralized. Yes, they are traumatized. What does Allah say? وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't be sad. Don't grieve. Don't worry. This is right after they've buried the dead and they're walking back to the city. They're feeling the lowest of the low. And Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't feel weak. Don't give up. And don't feel worried. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You shall end up victorious. But with one condition. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you have real iman. And Allah goes on and tells them, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you have suffered a setback, if you have been wounded, so have others, so have they. It's not the first, nor will it be the last time. You're not the only community under pressure. It's not the first time a calamity has happened to you. And calamities happen to every society, every people. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days we distributed amongst the people. One era will be for this, another era for that. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is the qadr of Allah. One era will be for this party, another for that party. One victory will be for them, another for them. This is of this world. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And there is wisdom. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. And so that Allah may test the faith of those who believe, and so that Allah may take shuhada from amongst you. And verily, Allah does not love the zalimeen. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And so that Allah may cleanse and raise up the believers, and show disgrace and ignominy to those who reject. So brothers and sisters, in light of the seerah, what are some of the positives of difficult times? Why are we going through these eras that seem to have so much gloomy negatives? Of the wisdoms that are throughout the seerah, we see them in each and every incident. And in fact, this is of the wisdoms of every calamity, not just political, every calamity, but especially political and military, as the Quran tells us. Of the primary wisdoms is that at times of trauma, at times of difficulty, that is when we most easily discover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When are we the most religious? When do our hands shoot up to the heavens? When is our dua the most powerful? When we need Allah the most. And you know, the Quran does not criticize this. The Quran says this is a fact. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا. When any calamity befalls mankind, that's when he discovers us, makes dua. Allah says in the Quran, when they're about to drown in the oceans, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ. When their ships are shaking, دَعَوَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. The whole religion goes to Allah. Allah doesn't criticize that. What does Allah criticize? Allah criticizes once they are saved, they neglect Allah. You see, discovering Allah at a time of crisis is normal. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. Turning to Allah when I'm sick, when my loved one is sick, when I'm suffering a calamity, this is not just acceptable, it is of the wisdoms of why calamities befall us. That's not the problem. The problem comes when we forget about Allah afterwards. That's the problem. So in these times of calamities, we are expected to rediscover Allah. Our dua must be stronger. Our tawakkul, our affirmation of Allah's qudra, our belief that everything happens with qadr, nothing happens by chance. This is Allah's qadr. It is destiny, and we have to face that destiny. The one who put us in this destiny will give us the strength and the power and the resolve to overcome that destiny. Our tawakkul in Allah, to recognize la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nothing changes and no one has power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is at times like this when that iman, when that tawakkul, when that yaqeen must come out and be demonstrated. It is at times like this that we are reminded. You see, sometimes we get too comfortable. When life is good, religion goes down. When everything is politically safe, correct, when our health is good, money is good, family is good, politics is good, unfortunately the heart becomes hard. We start living the life. These types of calamities, there is a divine wisdom to jolt us up. You know the expression, wake up and smell the coffee. This is what it's about. So Allah Azza wa Jal tests people, and in that test is our iman. It is our rediscovering of faith. It is turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another wisdom of why these political eras and tragedies and climates take place. We learn it from the Quran. Surah the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud. In the Battle of Badr, Allah praised the Muslims for finding unity amongst themselves. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا. Don't differ, be united, and be firm, and you will be the victorious ones. In the Battle of Badr, the Ansar and the Muhajirun faced their first crisis as a united community. Would the both of them fight together or not? And there was tension, because the Ansar and the Muhajirun, really they had not grown up together. They were not that well acquainted. And the Ansar had not signed on to wage wars against the Quraysh. That wasn't a part of the deal. And they had the legal right to say, Ya Rasulullah, we didn't agree to this, you go. They could have said it, and the contract that they had with the Prophet would have been valid. But now is the test. Are you going to unite with the Ummah? Are you going to stand behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you going to discard the differences of pre-Islam and stand together as one community, united with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? And we know what happened at Badr. They stood up and they said, Ya Rasulullah, do as you will. If you're charging into the ocean, we will be right behind you, charging behind you. The Muslim Ummah demonstrated its strength through unity. But what happened at Uhud? حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ When you lost your spirit and resolve and you disunited amongst yourselves. In the Battle of Uhud, the Sahaba from the beginning were wondering, should we fight here, should we fight there? When they're marching to Uhud, 300 of the hypocrites break away and they walk away and they say, we're not going to fight this battle because we wanted to fight in the city and you're going outside the city. Disunity, breaking the ranks. Well, it's at times of political strife that the Muslim Ummah must be united. And external threats are of the most important ways to make us wake up and realize, doesn't matter what the color of my skin is. Doesn't matter if I'm from Pakistan and you're from Palestine and he's from Timbuktu and they're from Morocco. Doesn't matter that I'm this and I'm that. We all are united under La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We have the banner of Tawheed. We have the unity of the Ummah. After 9/11, this was the first wake-up call. For the first time in the 50-year history of the immigrant community, the Muslims realized we need to reach out to our African-American brothers. The fact of the matter, which is politically incorrect to say, is the immigrants and their children and our African-American brothers, there was a divide amongst them in the Muslim community. Post 9/11, we realize we need each other. Each one has talents. Each one has positives that the other lacks. And put together, we can strengthen the Ummah. Alhamdulillah, much happened. Alhamdulillah, in the last 15 years. But we have a long way to go. We still have a long way to go. It is in these calamities that race, ethnicity, cultural divides, and yes, even some theological divides. We need to be mature enough and brave enough to put theological differences aside for greater good at times and places. And I've spoken about this in more detail in other lectures. We see this, that in this country, in this land, there is strength in unity. Quantity speaks. This is a democracy. And in the end of the day, if enough people want to change and want to bring a change, that change will take place. So it is at times of crisis like these that as well we rediscover the positives of Muslim unity. Of the benefits and wisdoms as well, brothers and sisters, is that it is at times of difficulty and crisis that bonds of ukhuwa are cemented and fortified. Look at Darul Arqam in early Mecca. The Muslims who embraced Islam and used to come to Darul Arqam, there's always a special bond between them. There was always that sense of, yes, we were persecuted together. Those who suffered in the boycott together. Those who lived in the valleys of Mecca together for a year or two. The bonds of brotherhood that were established were necessary for the Ummah to flourish in the next generation. At times of difficulty, at times of strife, ukhuwa is rediscovered. Of the benefits of these political times of strife as well, is that this increased scrutiny and injustice that is done to us actually leads fair-minded people to look deeper into Islam and then eventually embrace it. In the dhulm that is done to us, people that are righteous and good, their curiosity is sparked and they look into what is going on. Why are these people being persecuted? Look at the conversion of Umar ibn al-Khattab, of Hamza. Why did it occur? When did it occur? In both of these instances, something happened traumatic. In one case, Abu Jahl insulted the Prophet ﷺ. And Hamza said, this is not right. How could you do this? He is my nephew and I'm upon his religion. In another case, Umar was the one who hit his own sister until blood ran from her face. And then he realized, what am I doing in my anger? How could I be so blind? What is this religion? Let me think about it. At times, a little bit of dhulm actually leads to a great good and a great victory. We in our masjid invited one of the guards from Guantanamo Bay who accepted Islam. Do you remember his story? A few months ago we invited him. And he said that I just could not understand. No matter what we did to these Muslim prisoners, they were positive, they were cheery, they had a good attitude. And I, as their captor, was more miserable than they trapped in their cages. Remember he said this right here in this masjid. So I wanted to find out, where is their happiness coming from? How can they be so positive about life, about everything? And he studied the Quran and he embraced Islam. And we invited him to our mosque here. In this dhulm as well, people of fair-minded, of open-mindedness, they will discover the truth of Islam. And sometimes we have to sacrifice for the Hamzas and the Umar ibn al-Khattabs to embrace Islam. And we want their equivalents in our time. Nothing, nobody like them, but their equivalents of our times. As well, even if they don't embrace Islam, at times of political strife, what happens? There are many non-Muslims who join our cause, not because they're Muslim, but because our cause is a just cause. It's a cause where we're not asking for anything other than our right to practice Islam. Look at Mutim ibn Adi. Look at Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't embrace Islam. Mutim did not embrace Islam. The Battle of Badr as well. When the Prophet ﷺ saw Utbah on the red camel going back and forth, and Utbah was saying, "Oh Quraysh, have you lost your mind? You're going to kill people because they worship one God? Calm down, go back to Mecca." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "If they listen to the man on the red camel, they have wisdom in them." That's the man who has wisdom, meaning Utbah. These people, they did not embrace Islam, but the circumstances made them stand up and demonstrate who amongst even the non-Muslims had good character and good akhlaq. And look at what is happening to us here in this land. How many famous people, celebrities, journalists, politicians have come out publicly defending us, criticizing the people who are more powerful than them. How many? So at these times of crisis, we see who our true allies are. And that is a wisdom and a hikmah that we have to grasp and take advantage of. As well, we see the opposite. Just like we see our true allies, at times of crisis, we also see what? Our true enemies. And the worst enemies are whom? The ones who are from within our own ranks. Opportunists who want to sell themselves and their families and their community, who want to betray the very religion that they were brought up in, who want to go against everything that Islam stands for, simply because a few crumbs were thrown at them from that house up in Washington, simply because some power was given, some access was given, and they become the worst of the worst. As the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, these are shayateen in human form. They speak your language and they dress like you. This is hadith in Sahih Muslim. But their hearts are not with Allah and His Messenger. The sellout traitors who are willing to discard their own community, to claim that the majority of mosques are hotbeds of radicalization, and they know that that is not the case because they grew up in the mosques. Their fathers might have been the founders of those mosques. But because some money is thrown, khalas, they become the people always interviewed on Fox, always invited to the iftar, always this and that. And I'm not saying everybody who goes is bad, but we know who they are amongst them. We know who they are by their track records. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ. And these are the people we need to know who they are for future reference. Because we never knew they're lurking in our midst. We never knew these were the people, the turncoats, the traitors. And in the battle of Uhud, Allah mentions in the Quran, of the biggest wisdoms is that Allah separated the khabith from the tayyib. Allah separated the munafiq from the mu'min. Allah wanted to show to the Muslims, O Muslims, Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul and his gang, You need to know their real character. How would we have known their real character unless there was the Battle of Uhud? How would we have known that this is how evil they are unless and until we saw with our own eyes that when the Muslims most needed them, they turned their backs and literally walked away? How would we have known that? The Battle of Ahzab, the Banu Qurayza, the last second treachery in the middle of the night. How would the Muslims have known? Even though when it happened, it was traumatic. When it happened, Allah says in the Quran, your hearts reached your throats. وَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ You began having bizarre thoughts. هُنَالِكَ بَتُولِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ The believers were tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا They were shaken to the core. But the Muslims needed to know the Banu Qurayza, their loyalties did not lie with the Muslims. Even if they had signed treaties, even if that, no. So you see, at times of crisis, we see the true character of men, the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. We see the khair and the shar. And that is important. It's important. You know, as the saying goes, that better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. We need to know these shayateen fi surat al-ins, as our Prophet ﷺ said, who they are amongst us. And this is of the greatest positives that will come in the years ahead of us. As well, brothers and sisters, of the positives that we need to look forward to. And it is of the wisdoms why these trials take place. Is that political crises bring about in us an enthusiasm for activism, a sense of identity. We need to show our Islam. You know, at times, and we've all heard stories like this, that there are people, you don't think them to be very pious, very righteous, but something happens, somebody says something about Allah and His Messenger, and something negative happens, and all of a sudden, this person whom you had dismissed, you shouldn't have, but you had dismissed, oh, this guy has no iman, this guy doesn't pray, this guy drinks, all of a sudden, when the pressure rises, this person whom you thought had no iman, turns out he has more iman than you when it comes to fighting against Islamophobes. That level of spirit, of activism, we need a struggle. And we're going to face a struggle in the coming years coming ahead. Each one of us has a role to play. As we see in the history of Mecca, early Mecca. Some people, financially, they freed the slaves. Others are giving da'wah. Others amongst the nobility, teaching and preaching. Others going to the... Everybody has a role to play. And we need that sense of spirit and community, and yes, a struggle, which means a political crisis, so that we come together and have a strategy, long-term thinking. What are we going to do? Once again, 9/11 was a wake-up call for many of us, and now this is round two. This is part two now. Once again, we need to think, strategize. We now hear, especially, and let me be frank here, especially those who have come from other countries, and those who have become American citizens, they have to realize this is now our land. You see, before these fitan and trial, there was still this sense of, okay, one foot here, one foot there. Psychologically, your heart was always back home. But now that all of this fitna is happening, you realize, I ain't going back. This is my land and the land of my children. And I have to fight legitimately for it. Well, that's a blessing. Wallahi, it's a blessing in disguise. To understand that... Yes, in order to gain anything, there must be sacrifice. There must be struggle. Nothing is gained just by sitting on your behind and doing nothing. So Allah Azza wa Jal is putting an opportunity, a wall. Literally a wall. No pun intended, or maybe the pun is intended. Allah is putting a wall. It doesn't matter if that wall is built or not. It doesn't matter what the president and whatever. We have our task laid out for us. Because we take orders from a higher authority. And we will not be intimidated. We will not be coward. We will turn to our Lord, have faith in our religion, and we shall, inshallah ta'ala, be the victors as Allah has promised us. And of the wisdoms as well, brothers and sisters, is that it is at times like these where true leadership is formed and proven and demonstrated. Wallahi, no leader in human history became a true leader, a genuine leader, a respected leader without sacrifice and struggle at times of difficulty. This is the reality, not just of the prophets, not just of Musa and Isa and our Prophet ﷺ, but even of people who have no religion or other religions. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela. How did they become leaders? You have to have a struggle. And in that struggle, true leadership is demonstrated. And we need leaders to lead the ummah. In order to become leaders, they must undergo these struggles. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, true leadership in the religion is only gained through patience and sacrifice. Sabr and sacrifice. You can't become a leader without putting in the time, showing and demonstrating the true character, and that true character comes at a cost and at a sacrifice. The point, brothers and sisters, we can go on and on, but the time is limited. The point is very clear, and it was mentioned to our Prophet ﷺ in the Quran, and it was told to us through him, as Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Announce to the world, nothing is going to happen to us except what Allah has decreed for us. This is our attitude, not just for the next 4 years, for as long as Allah gives us life. This will be our rally call, no matter what decree is passed, no matter what law is established, no matter what discrimination takes place. Nothing happens to us except if Allah has willed it. No one has power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? If Allah has power, huwa maulana. He is my protector. He will protect me. No matter what situation I'm in, He will provide the way out. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And in Allah, let the believers truly put their trust. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من آيات وذكر الحكيم. أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Some practical advice, brothers and sisters, for myself and for all of us. Some practical advice. Number one, going back to my first point, at these times of difficulty, each and every one of us needs to examine our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa maulana. Do you really believe Allah is your mawla? Do you really act in that manner? Is that your philosophy of life? Huwa maulana. Will Allah protect you? That is a question you need to ask yourself. Do you have that yaqeen, that tawakkul, that iman in Allah? And if the answer to that is yes, then move on to number two. Never compromise your religious values. Never compromise what you believe to be the truth. Fear none except the Lord of men. Be not intimidated by any except the one who shall cause you to die. That shall be your main source of comfort and bravery. Number three, do not shy away from being a Muslim in public. Now is not the time to be a coward. We need strength in our numbers. Yes, Allah will help us. But of the ways Allah will help us is if we are visible about our Islamic identity. Everybody who knows you in your workplace should know that you are a Muslim. Now is not the time to hide. There was never a time. But especially now, be visible about your Islamic faith. Do not mince your words about your criticism in a positive manner. Don't be vulgar. But do not mince your words about your rights as a citizen, as a human. The dignity that this country is supposed to guarantee you by its constitution. Be sure that if you are quiet and I am quiet and everybody is quiet, then we have failed in the most basic manner to stand up against this injustice. Number four, strength in numbers also means you need to establish ties with the community. Come to the masjid more frequently. It helps, wallahi it helps. Speak to any of the brothers and sisters who come regularly for Fajr and Isha, for the other salawat. You know it's depressing, wallahi it's depressing, we know this. You go to work, you hear what you hear. When you come to the masjid, your iman soars. You get a recharge, your battery goes back all of a sudden. You know the iPhone charger, this is it right here. You come in, your iman soars in the heavens, and you go out feeling good about yourself. You can face another day with some negativity, some hostility. We need each other. In this land where we are a minority, less than 1%, don't cut off from your Muslim brothers and sisters. Come to the masjid. Any masjid. regularly and have your presence there, because you need that iman boost. You need the comfort of being amongst people. And number five, know your rights, brothers and sisters. Know your rights. This is not another country. I don't want to mention the names here, but wallahi, the fact of the matter is, the American Constitution truly does give many more rights than many other constitutions in the world, especially in Muslim countries, let's be honest here. And we thank Allah for that, and we should appreciate that. But you know, if you allow somebody to trample your rights, don't blame anybody but yourself. Know your rights. Know what is legal. Know what is illegal. That requires knowledge. If you don't have it, go to the lawyers. Go to the people. There are many advocacy groups. There's CARE. There's AMAC. There's other groups here. There are also groups that are not even related to Muslims, but they're helping us out. The ACLU. Know these organizations. And they need our financial support. They need our support in attending and knowing our rights. We have a lot of allies in this country. But if you're just going to disappear when somebody tramples over your foot, you're going to ignore it. You're going to let them trample over one foot. They're going to trample over the second one. Know your rights and stand up and fight. And come together. And insha'Allah ta'ala, with all of this, and again, I go back to the first point, relationship with Allah is the most important. But after that, relationship with the ummah, strength in numbers, knowing your rights. We have a long journey ahead of us, brothers and sisters, but in the end of the day, this is why we're here. This is why we are here, to face these battles together with the help of Allah, to overcome each and every difficulty that comes our way. And if we are successful in this world, alhamdulillah. And if not, in our efforts, we have succeeded in the eyes of Allah. And I conclude with one of my favorite verses in the Quran. And I always go back to this verse when I'm feeling down, when things are happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. We know, Ya Rasulullah, that your heart feels pain because of what they're saying, what they're doing. We know it's difficult. Allah is consoling our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know it's difficult. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ مَا يَقُولُونَ. We know it, Ya Rasulullah. What advice did Allah give our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ وَعْبُدَ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Increase your tasbih, increase your sajda, and continue to worship Allah until death comes to you. That is our goal. That is our goal. Jannah is not in this world. This isn't Jannah. Jannah is in the next world. You want to get there? It's going to be difficult. You're going to have some obstacles. But continue your worship of Allah. Be firm. Do unto people as you would like they do unto you. And insha'Allah ta'ala, when death comes, even if you didn't see the political glory, even if you didn't see the promised land, even if you didn't get to the end of what you wanted in this world, your struggle, your striving, your attempt to do so, that will get you the promised land of the akhirah. And that is really all that we want. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the iman and the sabr, the taqwa and the ikhlas and the tawfiq to forego and to have the strength to continue, not just the next 4 years, but to the end of our lives.